All right. Well, great to see you this Christmas Sunday. I'm going to go ahead and invite you to give me the PowerPoint. Should be on a dark slide. Thank you. And we'll dive in. Christmas time, as you well know, has come to be known as a time for gift giving. Step into most American homes this week and you'll find presents under a Christmas tree. Gifts for friends and family, co-workers, neighbors, even the pets. Really? Yes, really. If you have a few minutes to waste, just search for pet gifts and pet gift statistics, and you'll find that 95% of American owners, pet owners, plan on giving their pets a Christmas present. And most of those people will spend $36 per pet. 54% of American pets will have a Christmas stocking this year. 29% of those pets, of all the pets, American pets, will receive a Christmas card from their humans. Even though they can't read, that's okay. And many owners say yes, their pets will be writing letters to Santa Paws. Mm-hmm. Retailers, of course, profit handsomely from all of this gift giving, and of course they do all they can to get us into the spirit of gift giving, and they are quite effective, as you can see in this chart, which shows the increase, the growth in holiday spending over the last 20 years. And in 2000, Americans spent $399 billion on holiday retail sales, purchases, gifts, and last year, $755 billion. Keep it right there, and you'll see, however, so that's an 89% increase. However, our salaries, our median household income has not increased, but about 15%. Well, my purpose today, you can go back to the other, is not to rail against the excesses of American Christmas spending, or the commercialization, or the consumerism, or the burgeoning pet giving, or any of that, but rather to ask this question: where did all this come from? Where and when and how did the idea and practice of gift giving at Christmas come from? Well, you say the legend of Santa Claus, who brings Christmas presents to children all around the world, maybe, and his legend sprang from the generosity of that fourth century Saint Nicholas. Right, okay, but where did he get it from? Well, I'm sure you're already ahead of me on this. All of the celebrating, all of the singing, all the Christmas cookies, you name it, all the merriment of Christmas time is rooted, is based, is founded in that gift from heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave. And this gift has impacted our race. It has so impacted our race that it has reordered human existence, wherever that message has come. Think about it, how dramatic it is. From music, to foods, to travel, to decorations, social gatherings, plays, dramas, schedules, what we wear. Why, this is a Christmas sweater. Of course you wear that, right? It seems just about everywhere you turn, there's an impact from that original gift that God gave to the world, right? Even movies alter their production schedules to gear them to Christmas. Not to mention every other kind of sale that somehow has to relate to Christmas, from no-stick pans to automobiles, right? It's somehow, they want you to think it's related. A more telling question might be, what area of our existence has not been touched by the first gift of Christmas? Of course, not all Christmas revelers have a personal saving relationship with Jesus Christ, but the fact remains, heaven's gift of a Savior has profoundly influenced human experience. So I've been doing some thinking about this first gift and who gave it, the giver, God the giver. And I thought, well, let's go look at what the Bible has to say. And there's that word give, and here's this word gift. And I dove in, and one thing has led to another, and I have realized that this giving aspect of God is just not a little sidebar in the Bible. It's not an ancillary attribute about God, as if there were such a thing. And I have been utterly amazed. And I would like to invite you to go with me on a journey this morning to explore this theme of our giving God. So it's a topical message. Perhaps we would envision our study this morning as a mountain climbing expedition. We'll start at the base of the mountain and get a general overview and then climb our way up the mountain of this theme. And you know how as you climb a mountain, you get up to a certain vantage point and there's an overlook and you step out and you take that look and, oh, it's beautiful. And then you climb some more or drive up the mountain, however you get there, and another overlook, and it's even more breathtaking. And so on and so forth. And the higher you get and the more you see, you're just overwhelmed. Well, that has happened to me in this study. I want to let you know something. There are 415 give words in the New Testament. I looked at every single one of them. The verbs, 415 of them. Here they are. Every last one of them. 13 pages, single-spaced, really small margins, font smaller than I care to read. And do you know that of those 415, approximately 285 of those have something to do with our relationship to God? There are various categories. Some of them are God or Jesus doing the giving. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Or the grace of God was given you in Christ, that idea. So God or Jesus doing the giving. And then there are many where God or Jesus are represented by a parable. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You see, that kind of thing. So parables where God or Jesus are represented, or it might be a prayer that has to do with our relationship with God. Give us this day our daily bread. Or it might be a command. Give preference to one another in love. But all of these, still the prayer or the command, are still directly related to our relationship with God. So 285 of these 415 verbs translated give in our Bible are in some way connected to our relationship to God. And I didn't even get to the other verbs that convey giving, like reward or inherit or entrust or present. And I certainly didn't get to the nouns or to the Old Testament. I bit off way more than I could chew. And I thought I would bring the message on this to you this morning and have a nice little tidy package. I've always known, you've always known, that God is a giving God, but I had no idea just how much it was so, and I've been just overwhelmed. We say God is love, and he is, but guess what? God is a giving God, over and over again. So my prayer today is that God will enable me, or more perfectly, that God, by his Holy Spirit, will somehow open your eyes in some way as he has mine to these truths, not that I will be able to cover it, but that you will be turned on to this study for yourself, and you too will see him for who he is in this regard and become overwhelmed by God the giver. Shall we pray to that end? Father in heaven, first off, We do recognize you as God the giver. With just the little bit that we've talked about just now, God, what in the world are you doing being such a giving God to people like us? But at any rate, we are going to open your scriptures now, and we ask you to open our hearts to this about yourself and magnify yourself, exalt yourself in our eyes and in our hearts, and cause this reality, these truths, to sink deep into our hearts in such a way that it will change us forever as a result of who you are. We invite you to do this because we're focusing on you and you're worthy. And we ask for this help in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, your most precious gift. Amen. So we'll begin, and as I said, we'll begin as if we're at the base of this mountain with just the foundation, all right? So I'm going to just be on a tear, actually, through a number of scriptures. They all have the references. I'm hoping you can see them. You'll want to just jot down the reference, and I hope you can see it from here as well. And if not, I've got every one of them here for you. So we will not try to do all 415 or even all 285, just selections here. But let's begin. Here we go. He himself, God himself, gives. Now you're going to notice my pattern. I'm going to embolden and capitalize the word give or some variant of that. And then I'm going to put in yellow what it is that is the gift or what it is he has given. He himself, God himself, gives to all people life and breath and all things. In him, in God, we live and move and exist, have our being, as even some of your own prophets have said, poets have said. Paul was preaching and gave this truth. And it reminds us, doesn't it, of that first gift back in Genesis. And God breathed into man and made him a living being. So God gives this kind of gift. He gives it to all people, right? This is everyone is given life and breath and all of these things, and it keeps on going. He did good, and he gave you what? Rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Sends his rain on the just and the unjust. There's an example of a gift that doesn't use the word gift. He sends his rain on the just and the unjust. There's just bunches of them. But anyway, here it is with the word give. He did good and he gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons. Where are we without the rain? We know what that's like, but we would know it more keenly if we were an agricultural people. In today's day, we would know that we're not going to have any crops without the rain. Today, Walmart just has to send over to California and get what they had crops because we didn't, or vice versa. So he gives us rains, and then fruitful seasons. So you see that word satisfying? Have you thought what it must be like to be a cow? Well, today I'll have some grass. Maybe tomorrow I'll eat oats. But the next day I'll be back to grass, or maybe oats, who knows? Maybe oats and grass, or grass and oats, you know? It's exciting, isn't it? But look at what God has given to us, a palate and the ability to see and taste all of these textures and flavors, and you just go on and on. How satisfying it is, right? Satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. It's just not just this black and white existence, is it? It's rich colors and sunsets, and these God has given to all his creation. Well, there's our foundation. Let's climb another couple thousand feet and see what else he has given. Now we come to this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Eternal life. Can you fathom that? Let's climb some more to another scenic overlook. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children, to be called children of God, to those who believe in his name. And another is like it. See how great a love the Father has lavished, another word there, forgive, on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. So now we've moved from the general for all of humanity to those who will receive the gift of his only Son. And what a priceless gift that was. Can you fathom? Is there any of your children or grandchildren that you, whose life you would be willing to give for another person? No. Can you fathom what God did in giving his Son, the life of his Son, that we might have eternal life? Let's climb to another outcropping where we can take another look. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And we've just touched on this, but you know that he, the Holy Spirit of God, now lives within those who have given their lives to Christ, who have received him as their personal Savior, confessed their sins, surrendered their lives to him. The Holy Spirit lives within you and me. How in the world does he fit? Have you ever wondered that? What is in the world is he doing in somebody like me and you? Only by the blood of Jesus Christ have we been so cleansed that he finds his way with joy into you and me. Keeping on going, God richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Really? You remember how some people come up with rules about what you should and shouldn't do and shouldn't eat and shouldn't this and shouldn't that and shouldn't. And God says, no, you don't understand my heart. I've supplied you with all of this for you to richly enjoy. Isn't that wonderful? Is he a giving God? Every good gift, in fact, here I went with the noun, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. That's what he feels towards you. If you've had a good gift, where did it come from? If you've had a perfect gift, who was the originator, the author of that? And let's keep going. God, Christ gave himself for our sins that he might rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. So here's the giving. Christ is doing it, and what's the present? Himself. He gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us. What's the gift? Himself, the rescue, and more. Christ gave himself as a ransom for all. Now, I would give about anything to have ransomed one of my children or my wife, wouldn't you? But I don't think it extends very much farther than that. And it certainly doesn't extend my willingness to give just about anything for the dregs of society. But Christ did. Gave himself to rescue us. Gave himself as a ransom. How about that? And where's the Father's attitude in all this? He did not even spare his own Son, but offered him up for us all. And if that's the case, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Are you capturing, or is it hitting you yet that God is just giving and giving and giving? Well, there's more. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of victory is that? Well, it's the victory over the temptation. It's the victory over sin. It's the victory over death. It's the victory over every occasion of our fallenness and our fallen world. That is a victory that God is giving you through the Lord Jesus Christ. If any of you lacks wisdom, wow, God just keeps on giving. We went from this to this, and now we're on wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask, and the Greek in this is so cool, you should ask the giving God, it says. You should ask the giving God, sorry to move on you there, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Did you catch that? How many different ways does he have to say it so we will catch it? Let's keep going. There's another outcropping ahead. Peace, my peace I give to you, said the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I want to transition to a different kind of giving. It is another way that the wording in the New Testament heightens the giving. And here it is. We use the word, it's translated, granted. No one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. It's a certain construction that takes that word give and heightens it to this granting. It has been granted. Do you picture a king and one of his subjects comes and kneels before him with his request, his entreaty, and the king grants their request? To you, no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, if you're walking with him, you can put your name in this. I came to him because it was granted to me. It was granted, like the king offering his subject that kind of a gift. And the early believers were surprised to realize, and they accepted it, that God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. Did you become aware of your sin? Yeah, I know you did. You became so aware of it, and you were struck by it, and you repented of it. Where did that come from? Even the realization of your need to repent and the ability to repent, apparently from these scriptures and some others, is a grant from God. Can you fathom that? That he would grant you that. Isn't that beautiful? And another one. Perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. We're studying the truth. We're studying all about Jesus Christ. But perhaps God may grant, that's his work. He grants that repentance. Is this a scripture that you can incorporate into your prayer for your unbelieving friends and family members? Oh Lord, this precious person to me, would you grant to them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth? Yes. Oh, Lord, it begins with you. And we see it and we know it. And we thank you for having given it to us. But how about these ones we love? Please, Father, let's keep going. More of this granting, this heightened word of giving. His divine power has granted to us, as followers of Christ, everything pertaining to life and godliness. What does that mean? Well, have you heard someone say this? Hey, you're just going to have to deal with my temper because it's just the way I am. It's just who I am. No. God has granted you everything pertaining to spiritual life, physical life, but also your spiritual life of godliness. God has granted you the ability in Christ to move past. You're just going to have to get used to my anger or my whatever. Fill in the blank. He's granted that in Christ. We don't have to stay the way we were. And he has granted us his precious and magnificent promises. All the promises in Christ Jesus, or all the promises of God, are yes in Christ Jesus. That's one I just quoted that it doesn't even have the word give, but there it is. All of those magnificent and precious promises are ours through Christ. Here's another. God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. What was it that was granted in Christ Jesus from all eternity? His own purpose. His grace was granted before you and I ever were. It was granted to us in Christ Jesus from all of eternity to be able to be saved. And it would not be according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Here's one that we might have to read a second or third time to take all the way in. For to you it has been granted, this heightened word, for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Well, you're not sure if you want that grant sometimes, are you? Or are you? You think of the most precious person on the face of this planet, and you think about how you would so readily suffer for the well-being of that person. And you realize there's a glimpse of how, yes, I do love that person, and therefore I do love my Savior so much that I would be willing to suffer in return in thanksgiving. It has been therefore granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in, but also to suffer for his sake. And then we come to a whole series of them now that are the next chapter. They're the chapter that is yet ahead for us, and they are found in Revelation, and we'll look through those now. To him who overcomes, Jesus is saying, to the believers who must persevere all the way to the end, who must continue to choose right and turn away from evil, to him who overcomes, the one who holds fast to the end, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Well, there's some things there, aren't there? You remember it was the tree of life back in the garden that we were kept from after our sin. But now I'm going to grant to you to eat of the tree of life. You who will continue faithfully. You be faithful, therefore, unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. The crown of life. And he who overcomes, to him I will give authority over the nations. Authority over the nations. What is that exactly? Bob Putnam, authority over the nations. What does that look like? I'm not really sure. Is Bob going to be ruling? Are you going to be ruling, Phyllis, Sam? Are we going to be ruling over the nations? It says that. I just don't know what that looks like, but it must be going to be something. And I will give the one that overcomes the morning star. What is that? I'm not sure about that either. But it's a promise, and Christ never promises something cheap, does he? Look at what he paid to be able to give us these promises. I will give him or her the morning star. The one who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne. I'm not sure how that works, are you? Because last I checked in Revelation, it talks about an innumerable number of redeemed, and how are all those people going to sit down with him on his... I'm not sure, but there it is in black and white, or in yellow in this case. We're going to be granted to sit down with him on his throne. I'll give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost, and the one who overcomes will inherit these things. I stole away to inherit briefly. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. I have just given you just a whirlwind tour. And there are so much more, and I can't give it all to you. But I am inviting you, by this spread that I have laid before you just now, to take it upon yourself to look into the scriptures and search them yourself for how God is a giving God. How he just cannot help himself to give to the likes of us through his Son all of these blessings. When we sit down for Thanksgiving, we often contemplate the blessings of our lives, don't we? But you see from this how much the heart of God is just a giving, giving heart. And so therefore, this tremendous gift-giving that is our cultures and Thanksgiving and all the money we spend, it just almost pales in comparison. It doesn't just almost. It actually completely, utterly pales in comparison to the giving God and all the ways he has given. And like I said, I didn't catch the nouns. I didn't catch the other verbs, impart, entrust, inherit, all those others. Would you be willing to take the challenge to contemplate the giving God in such a way that you begin to maybe take a journal in the coming year and make this study all that it should be for your heart and your life, so that it won't just be me who's been blessed and it won't just have been a 20-minute flyover here in the worship time. I'm going to take you now to one other aspect of his giving. And then we're going to have a few moments for you to ponder them. And these are the next. While they were eating, Jesus and his disciples, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, Take it. This is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them. And they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. What exactly does he mean by this is my body? This is my blood of the covenant. What does that mean for you and for me? I know you know that it's representative of his body and his blood and his death and his burial and his resurrection. But I invite you in the moments ahead to contemplate all that it meant for him to give his body and his blood. He was giving us the new covenant because the old covenant could never take away sins. Only his blood could. And therefore we were cleansed and forgiven. Because we see that one incredible aspect of giving that is central to who God is forgiving. Forgiving. Forgiving sins, your sins and mine, and saving and renewing and giving eternal life. I'm going to ask that we just contemplate these words. You can put that screen back up and we'll have some quiet music. And then when you are ready, you take the bread and the cup and worship the Savior who gave that he might forgive. So let's land this plane about the giving. How shall we respond to this God who is such a giving God? Well, I chose for a couple of points of application some actual words, some actual scripture verses that use those words, give. And the first one, if you can bring me up again, Kelly. Is that me right there? No. Okay, sorry, am I out of order? Can you get me back to the last few slides of my... While they're finding it, I'll tell you the story. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And while he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" So giving thanks, giving glory to God, is that a regular part of who we are and what we do? It seems the only appropriate response to one who gives and gives and gives is to give thanks, doesn't it? And what a travesty not to. We teach our children from the youngest age to say thank you and to be polite in response to what is given to them. Are we training our spiritual manners in the same way to him who gives and gives? Do we reflect? Do we pause to reflect? Have you had this conversation with a child of yours in some time past where you said, "Did you realize what just happened? Your aunt so-and-so just gave you this. How should you respond?" And of course the child says, "Oh, thank you, aunt so-and-so." And that child needed to be prodded. Do you prod yourself to think of things that God has done for you? Are there little sticky notes in your life of all the things he's done, and you're giving thanks with regularity, purposeful regularity? One more application point, back to the PowerPoint, is this one. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Jesus said to his disciples at one point, "Freely you have received, freely give." And the Apostle Paul said, "What do you have that you did not receive?" Yeah. Give seems like the logical response to a God who is a giving God, constantly giving and giving in such profound ways to us that he invites us, made in his image, to reflect his giving heart. Are we giving people? Are we looking for occasions to give, or are we more looking for ways to receive? For Jesus himself said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." So are we giving thanks and giving glory back to God, and are we giving people like our Father in heaven? Shall we bow together? Father, we thank you for revealing just this much of yourself to us, but we have a sense that we haven't even scratched the surface, that you are so way beyond giving than we have comprehended. But Lord, you've given us a word that reveals even more. I ask you to take us on a lesson, on a journey, to explore an expedition, to explore who you are in the weeks and months ahead as a giving God. And let it not just be an exploration for inquisitiveness, but for life change. Would you so impact us that we more and more represent you by how we live, and more we share the image of God, a giving God, like you are worthy of being represented. Help us, we pray. We ask this in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.